Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you have your copy of the study guide, go ahead and turn to the top of page 95, and we'll begin because it's our Friday study edition. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And this is a historic Friday edition for us with the inauguration of Donald Trump as president today.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I know we had an opportunity to watch a little bit of that. It's just awe-inspiring, isn't
it?
That
is
peaceful transfer of power.
Monumental.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I was certainly touched and moved by the whole scene, and it really speaks to a little bit of what we're going to be talking about today, and that's the fact that we're free in Christ. America stands for freedom, and really the freedom that America stands for is something that's derived from the freedom that we have in Christ. And today's lesson is all about how to truly experience that freedom to the full.
Yeah.
And there's a way that the Bible lays out for us. And unless we follow that path, we're going to be shackled down by all the things of this world. And so the chapter that we're in today is a chapter that I've entitled Living a Sunday Life in a Friday World. And it's based off a sermon by S.M. Lockridge that he delivered a number of years ago. Very evangelistic, powerful, powerful message that talks about the darkness of sin and death and how Christ tasted that for us. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. Well, for us as believers, Sunday's here. We are living in the power of the resurrection. We have resurrection life coursing through these spiritual veins of ours, and that's exciting. But we have that while the world is still on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still stuck in Friday.
Yes.
It's dark. It's bleak. It's sin. It's death. It's Friday. And so the question is, how do we live this Sunday life that we've been given through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this Friday world? Well, this world system, and when we talk about the world, we're not talking about planet Earth, are we, Richard?
No. It's way more important than that. I mean, if it was just humans,
yes,
okay, we fight and we make up. But this is about what Satan is doing in our world because we gave him permission to do so all those years ago.
Yes.
And what Jesus has done to overcome that, and we've got to keep that in mind. We don't, like Paul told us, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual forces. And you can't experience physical fleshly freedom until you've experienced spiritual freedom.
And that's right.
I think that's what we're going to get into here.
That's exactly right. So this world system, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're not talking about planet Earth. We're talking about the world system that had its genesis in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
So Adam and Eve had been clearly instructed not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, yet Satan kind of dangled that carrot in front mm-hmm. of them. And as they contemplated what Satan was putting before them, that tree began to look pretty good.
Yeah.
And so they partook, Eve first and then Adam. And at that point, they died spiritually. But also, they gained the knowledge of good and evil. And the world has been operating around that tree ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And history is kind of a tug of war between which side of the tree we're going to be at any given moment. There have been very dark moments in human history. World War I, World War II, the Crusades. There are lots of bad that we've seen out there in the course of human history. Lots of good things, too. So there's this constant tension to try to move us to the right side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we see that in many different ways. One of the ways that we see it is in religion. You know, there was a lot of religious activity going on in the days of Jesus, and, you know, people were praying. That's a good thing. And yet, when it's in the world system. It's not what God's after at all, is it?
Correct.
And so we see that in a passage in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." So prayer is a wonderful activity unless it's hypocritical. And there were a lot of people, the religious leaders of the day, who looked like they were on the good side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, yet deep within was a hypocritical attitude. And here's why. For they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. That's exactly a part of the world system, isn't it?
Yes.
It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So they were tapping into that world system with something that on the surface looked good, but it belied the hypocrisy that was in their heart. So they were praying in order to be seen by others. And Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So how does that look in a religious setting according to that passage? It looks hypocritical, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting to me that the word for hypocrite means one who puts on a mask.
Yes.
It's from drama, the Greek dramas. And when you've put on this mask, and if you've probably done it yourself, but you can certainly recognize in a religious setting, whatever religion you're looking at, you can tell when someone has put on that mask and is about to pontificate.
Yes.
And they pray, and their language changes, and their physical attitude changes, and you look at it and you go, "Are you kidding me?" and then you realize you're looking in the mirror and you say, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
It's time to get real.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about the mask, you know, that's what it means, somebody that puts on a mask. And certainly we do that a lot in our relationships one with another. We're not really free to be ourselves until we really understand the love of God and we understand this way of freedom, this way of grace that God has laid out for us in the Word of God. So we go to church. Church is a good thing, but we put those masks on. Mm-hmm. And so we're hypocritical in those relationships. Somebody asks us, how are you doing? And what do? Well, we lie. Yeah. I mean, we just lie right through it. We're doing fine.
Doing fine.
Knowing full well we're not doing fine at all. We're having a very difficult time. I mean, our guts are hanging out. We're just suffering, and yet we pretend to be doing well. Mm-hmm. Now we think that's a good thing to do, and it seems to be a good thing to do, but it's not based on truth. And in reality, it's just incorporating the world system into our relationships. So Jesus looked at that and he called it hypocritical, and Paul really explains what these Jewish leaders were doing in Romans chapter 10. It's a powerful passage. Richard, why don't you read that to us? Romans 10, 3 through 4.
Okay. "Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes."
Okay, so they did not know the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what it meant to be right in God's sight, to have that credited to their account. They didn't know it was a by faith proposition. You know, righteousness is a gift of God. It's given to us by faith. It's a righteousness that's apart from the law, that is the very righteousness of God that he gives to us when we come to Jesus and respond to that good news of Jesus through faith.
Yes.
We've been declared righteous. Well, they didn't understand that at all. And so what did they do? Instead of trying to find out about the righteousness of God, they just said, "Forget about that. Let's go establish our own." And so they did. And how did they establish their own? They came up with a series of rules and regulations that they wanted to follow, and that they required others to follow to be declared righteous in their sight.
Yes.
So they established their own set of rules for righteousness. But Christ came into the world, and he was the culmination of the law. He was the end of the law. He put an end to that so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. So what does this tell us about the nature of the world system? Is it a by grace through faith reality, or is it a law-based human effort type of reality?
It's what have you done for me lately?
Absolutely.
If you're not helping me, forget it.
That's exactly
very
right.
Very law-based.
And it's kind of a contract system.
Yes.
You know, God, we're going to do this, but in return, you need to do this.
Yes.
So if we follow these rules, if we follow these regulations, if we follow these rituals and we do it flawlessly, then you're obligated to do your part, to bless us, to reward us, all of those sort of things. So it's a contract. So we're trying to cut a contract, cut a deal with God. Well, that's worldly. That's not godly. That's not what God is all about. But that's how we operate. There have been so many people, Richard, who have called this ministry through the years, and their question goes something like this. You know, my husband or my wife, you know, she was diagnosed with this severe illness, could have been cancer, and boy, we started to pray, we started to give more, we started to do more things, you know, get more involved in our church, and then
God didn't deliver.
And God didn't deliver. They died.
Yeah.
And we're mad. And why is that? Why didn't he do his part? We did ours. Why didn't he do his? Well, what did they set up? A world system, a contract-based relationship with God instead of a by grace through faith-based relationship with God. Well, that's of the world. So if we're going to live a Sunday life in this Friday world, then we have to let go of any law-based system that we had adhered to before. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you used an important word here in relationship. Righteousness, the way God defines it, is primarily relationship-based. And to submit to God's righteousness, right, they did not submit. He explains that. It's for everyone who believes. So I have to submit to Jesus. I can't bring him something that says, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's all him or it's nothing. And so when the relationship is established, then righteousness is the direct result, because now I stand in his definition of what that means. And now we can work on something. But if you take the relationship out of it, it's just gross behaviorism. That's all it can
be. You know, Tony Romo's a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, or was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and he had great hopes for this particular season, got hurt in the preseason. So they had a rookie quarterback that was the backup, Dak Prescott from Mississippi State. Bob, you're a Mississippi man, and boy, that just did your heart good to see Dak Prescott step up and do the job that he did for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, indeed.
Well, as he progressed in his development and the Cowboys kept winning, Tony Romo saw the writing on the wall.
Yes.
And he decided to have a press conference and to kind of take all the pressure off of the general manager and the coach, and just to say, hey, I'm gonna step back and let Dak Prescott be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And in his press conference, he said, football is a meritocracy. You earn your position.
Yes.
That's how we approach God. We try to earn our position before him.
Yeah.
It's impossible to earn righteousness. It has to be given to us as a gift. And because it's been given to us as a gift, we can never lose our position. we can never lose our right standing with God. We'll always be the first string quarterback as far as our relationship with God is concerned. Why? Because we didn't earn it to begin with.
Yeah.
It was given to us. That's good news, isn't it?
I always said that you wanted a sports program.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide, of course, that accompanies Bob Christopher's fine book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Bob Christopher's here. Richard Piper's here. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. And you're going to find the book and the study guide at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And we thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do, take the truth, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to so many others who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. We've seen it countless times over the years. When truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, a forever changed life, is the result. And when you give and someone hears, believes, and begins to live in the life of Jesus Christ, the life that he provides, you have a part in that. So we ask you today to help us keep the good news coming. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So in Romans 10, 3 through 4, Paul really draws a line for us between the way of the world and the way of Christ. It's, you know, when you really look at it, it's the difference between law and grace.
Yes.
Those are the two approaches to life that we can take as human beings. Mm-hmm. We can do law through human effort, or we can walk by faith in the risen Christ. Those are the only two options. Law may take many forms and shapes, but when you get right down to it, this world in which we live, it's going to be law-based no matter how you slice it.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. So resurrection life is lived by grace through faith, and since that is the case, it raises a question. And this is a question that many people have. If we're not to live through obedience to the law, then what is the purpose of the law? So we want to spend a few minutes and talk about that. And the real reason that God gave the law from a spiritual standpoint was to help diagnose our spiritual problem. So that's all it can do. It mm-hmm. can diagnose the problem. It can't solve the problem. So today in modern medicine, we have a lot of diagnostic tools available to us. My mom was having some shortness of breath and some things going on in her life a couple of years ago. She called her cardiologist, and cardiologist said, come in, let's do a particular, I think, an angiogram. And so mom said, sure. They put the dye in her, and as soon as the cardiologist saw what was going on, she immediately said, we need to take you to the operating room. Now, the angiogram diagnosed the problem, mm-hmm. but it couldn't solve the problem. All it said was mom had blockages. Now, if she was going to be cured, something else had to take place.
Yes.
And what took place was surgery. And they went out in and cleaned her out, bypassed some of those blocked veins and stuff, and she came out of that feeling better than she had in a long, long time. So that law is like that angiogram, or it's like an MRI, or it's like a X-ray machine. It diagnoses the problem, shows us what's wrong, but it can't fix us. That's Jesus's job. So we're going to see that to be true in several of these passages. Romans 3:20. Richard, why don't you read that for us? I love this particular passage.
Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin.
Okay. So can any of us ever be declared righteous in God's sight through the works of the law?
No.
No. Why?
Because we can't keep it.
We can't keep
it. All it can show us is that we're missing.
Yes, that's exactly right. So if we think we can, you know, there are certainly some folks that thought they could. Mm-hmm. There was the rich young ruler, and he asked Jesus, you know, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, you know the law and the commandments. And the guy said, well, I have kept these.
Yeah.
And he just listed off three or four of them.
Yeah, well, the ones he had kept.
Yeah, and then Jesus said, there's just one more thing. And go and sell everything that you have, and then come and follow me.
Yeah.
Well, right at that point, God revealed his heart. He had a dependence upon his wealth. That's what was providing him meaning and purpose in life. And he wasn't willing to let that go. Well, what did Jesus show him? That he was violating the law. Don't covet. And worship only the one true God. Have nothing else before him. Well, this gentleman had money before God. That was his God. That's what he worshiped. It had become an idol in his life. So he had violated the Ten Commandments. So he thought he was doing good. He thought he was following the Ten Commandments, and yet Jesus showed him where he had fallen short.
Yes.
He diagnosed the problem, and he gave the solution. Come follow me. Yeah. The rich ruler said, no, I want to stick with my money. You know, so he had the solution. The law had done its work, but he wasn't willing to go in that direction.
Yeah.
So here's what we see here. We can't be declared righteous through the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Mm-hmm. And that's true for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you look in our society today, you see this problem. There's never been a society with more rules and regulations about how we should treat each other, how we should steward our money, and how banks should do what they do. Law after law after law demonstrates that we can't do any of that, and law after law after law demonstrates that it can't help us do that.
Right.
All it can do is identify that we fail.
That's exactly right.
That's the world system versus what we're talking about with Jesus.
And that's our default mentality, isn't
yes.
it? You know, there's a problem. Well, we're gonna make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, there ought to be a law.
And what do? We we legislate against it.
Yeah.
That's our answer for everything. That's just the human way of mm-hmm. thinking. That's why we need our minds elevated to God's way of thinking. We need to see the way of Christ, the way of grace. So through the law, we become conscious of our sin. It judges us. It condemns us. It declares us guilty mm-hmm. in its sight. In Galatians 3:24-25, Paul asks that question. So what then is the purpose of the law? And we see the answer right here. So what is this? What is the purpose of the law according to this?
So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian.
Okay, so what was the purpose of the law?
To keep us guided toward Jesus, to be a guardian, to let us know that there were problems, but a solution was on its way.
Okay.
And now that the solution is here, we're done with the guardian.
We're done with the guardian. Yeah. That's good news, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And it's good news that the guardian was there
yes.
before we met Jesus.
Absolutely.
This isn't a screed against the law. This is thank you, Jesus, for all of this stuff that you've done.
Right. It's like my mom is so thankful for that angiogram. I mean, that judged her that with a really severe problem mm-hmm. that if it wasn't fixed, she was going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how serious it was for my mom that particular day. The doctor said to her, if you had walked up a step, something could have happened and you could have died right then and there.
Yeah.
That's how serious the problem was. So Mom isn't against the angiogram.
No,
she was very grateful for it. And once we come to Christ and receive his life and receive his righteousness, we're thankful for the thing that showed us that we actually needed him.
Yeah.
And that's what the law did. It was our guardian. So until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But now that Christ has come, we're no longer under the law. We have the cure. His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And that is the good news, friends. Well, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, you can find the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion study guide through which we're studying when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're very privileged to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're blessed to have many of you partnering with us. We would love for you to continue to do that. The need is great. People need to hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. If you can help today, we would really, really love for you to partner with us. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, we have a gift for you. That's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying, God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.